No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I'm your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons, talking about what's next for the Colorado Rockies, the prospects, and quite possibly the future of the starting rotation. What might the five guys that are taking the ball every 5 days for the Rockies, who are they come September? What might that look like? And I'm trying to get you hyped a little bit on the future, trying to get you a little bit hopeful, as there are some things to be hopeful about. One of those things, Ryan Ritter, I regret to inform you, he did not hit a home run yesterday. That's because there is no game on Monday in minor league baseball. Some holidays, they do have games on Mondays. But no, the Isotopes did not play whatsoever. He continues to perform rather incredibly. He notched his 16th home run on Saturday, his 7th in the past 6 games. It has to make you think, but the way that he's been playing, that if he continues to stay this hot, and if he wins the Pacific Coast League Player of the Week for the 3rd week in a row, I don't think that's going to happen this time around. Well, he's got to get called up, right? He just has to. That's not necessarily how the Colorado Rockies see these things, unfortunately. He did get a base hit on Sunday early on in that game. He extended his PCL leading hit streak to 17 games with that early single against Sugarland. And he's been continuing to play absolutely fantastically. Won the, as I said, Pacific Coast League Player of the Week the last 2 years. This would be his 3rd week in a row. And it's troubling to think that a guy who's making that much noise for, it seems like it's a long period of time, and 2 weeks isn't that long, unfortunately, in a lot of big league parlance. And in fact, if you listen to yesterday's show, hopefully you're able to hear that well. The audio tracking on that was on the lower side, unfortunately. My apologies. We're back on track now. But I did mention how the quality of play in AAA is just not as good as it has been in the past. Now, it's probably negligible if you're going out to an Isotopes game. It looks like any other Isotopes game from any year previously. But I think that given where the Rockies are at and how they only have so much room to shuffle this roster, they've already tried to do it many different times and in many different ways, and there just isn't enough talent. You would think that, hey, we've got talent, let's bring it up. The Rockies are in and have been in a roster crunch for the last year or so. You can always find dead weight to get rid of, but the Rockies are struggling right now because the remaining dead weight that they do have are their guys. Think about who they got rid of in spring training. I mean, they had to cut bait eventually with Lucas Gilbreth, and that was more injury-based than anything, but they didn't want to do that. They did have to get rid of Justin Lawrence, and he immediately went out and performed before getting hurt with Pittsburgh. So they've got their homegrown guys now, and there's only room for so many of them. Ryan Ritter comes up. Somebody else not only needs to go down, but somebody else might need to get dropped off that 40-man roster. And that player may not come back. That player may leave like Alan Trejo did, going back to the Rangers, who the Rockies already traded for with him and gave Texas some cash considerations. Chris Forbes, the Rockies senior director of player development, in talking with Thomas Harding for the, I'm not sure what it's called, it's just the Rockies MLB.com newsletter. Chris Forbes did say that, quote, "We've seen him ride it really hot the last few weeks. We've also seen him ride it really cold. I think the main thing is we'd like to see a little bit of consistency here. I don't care what league he's playing in. He's been spectacular." So he's acknowledging how great he is, but there are still some holes in the things that he needs to work on. And it really is a catch-22 because they've been pumping up the prospects, and yet when they call him up, they're not ready. And when they do give him an opportunity and they're not ready, do they give him that opportunity begrudgingly, or are the guys that they are not giving that opportunity to because they already know that they're going to struggle at the major league level despite having success in Albuquerque? It's just a catch-22, and there really is no winning situation. It's a lose-lose scenario, it feels like, right now with everything in regards to this organization. On a slightly positive front, Zach Veen, there have been folks who've reached out to me on social media. I am at Patrick D. Lyons on Twitter and Blue Sky. People have been asking, where's he been? Where's Zach Veen been? Well, he had an ankle issue that, again, this is a strange concept, that didn't warrant a stint on the injured list, yet he's not actually even playing with Albuquerque, so they're just shorthand. He's also in Scottsdale at the spring training facility at Salt River Fields working on some swing mechanics. Overhaul is a word that's probably exaggerated, so you haven't seen him very much. And I think, you know, is this a entirely new approach that has been driven by Warren Schaefer? Perhaps. But it does look like, you know, they are not happy with status quo, and they want there to be major changes. And if there aren't, there are going to be consequences. And we saw some of those consequences over the weekend with some of the interesting, to say the least, transactions that the Rockies made to shuffle up their active 26-man roster. One of those players that I'll be talking about a little bit more later in terms of what the rotation for the Rockies could look like come September is Gabriel Hughes. Now, he got promoted this weekend, made his first AAA start with Albuquerque. He did allow four runs, only three were earned in 5 2/3 innings pitched, walked two, gave up six hits, and struck out four in what was ultimately an Isotopes 10-8 win. But him repeating AA, and repeating isn't even totally fair because he had just come back from Tommy John surgery last year. He did start 2023 there, so he was really picking up where he had left off. But a 3.07 ERA with the AA Hartford Yard Goats in 9 starts, only 8 walks, 35 strikeouts. So this is a guy that needs to be added this winter in order to be protected from the Rule 5 draft. So as the Rockies have been doing a lot recently, and this is a positive thing, it hasn't moved the needle, but they've been giving these players those kinds of opportunities early rather than waiting for them to go on the 40-man and then finally make their debut. So Hughes doing all that he can to make noise and say, hey, I'm ready for my opportunity. He's pretty much there right now. It could be a little bit early. You heard me yesterday talking about Antonio Senzatella. And, you know, will he be back to make his next start? Will there be an IL stint? Will something else happen? Gabriel Hughes helped himself and helped the chances and odds of him being that guy to replace Antonio Senzatella should the Rockies' top brass choose to make that decision. Other players returning from injury, Kyle Karros. He is set to return from the IL this week. With Hartford, he had a knee injury. I think he fouled a ball off his knee. So his season so far has been limited to just 22 games, but he's been great. .333 batting average, just under .500 with the on-base percentage at .447 and a .513 slug. Also good news for Charlie Condon, the Rockies' top hitting prospect. In fact, now I think I haven't gone to MLB Pipeline to see their updated list, not that it really is updated. It's still the same guys. But as rookies become no longer eligible to stay on the prospect list, like they're still rookies within the season, but they are now no longer prospects, they fall off the list. So I imagine Chase Dolander's probably fallen off the prospect list, even though he is still a rookie this season. That would make Charlie Condon the number one overall prospect, but multiple hits in three straight games since he was activated with high A Spokane, mashed his first home run of the season on Friday night, where he was 2 for 3 with 2 RBI in those 9 games with Spokane. Been really good. 2 doubles, that homer, 6 ribbies, 7 walks, and only 7 strikeouts. So coming back from that wrist injury and performing really well, it'll be interesting to see how much they push him along and not give him opportunities, because you know, you keep him in Spokane, you keep him in high A for the majority of the season. I don't think you are not giving him opportunities, but he needs to be cautious with that wrist. Rockies need to be cautious with him in regards to that. And so Spokane might be that safe place for him to be until, you know, perhaps a call up in early August, let's say. But look, if he's crushing it and is not being challenged at all, then yeah, he's going to need to get himself promoted. There's really no two ways about that. Let's get to that rotation that I've been touching on a little bit, because you know, the Rockies are going to have their decisions to make at the trade deadline. Haven't done a full trade deadline breakdown for the Rockies. I mean, the only thing that's not nailed down right now, I think, is Ezekiel Tovar and Chase Dolander. Now, with some of the issues that Brenton Doyle has had at the beginning of this year, and you know, a lot of it is off the field stuff, and he's done a good job to rebound from that. But I think even now, you'd look and say, is Brenton Doyle need to be on this team for the next contender? When is that next contender? If it's 3-4 years away, at that point, Brenton Doyle's 30 years old. He's Ryan McMahon's age. And if you're already saying Ryan McMahon is, you know, on that wrong side of 30, why are you going to keep Brenton Doyle around? So I'll dig more deeper into that. But the September rotation could be interesting. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be good or better than what it currently is right now. I just look at Austin Gomber as being an unknown as he continues to make his return from that shoulder issues that he's had. And you know, I'm not sure what to expect out of him this season. I think there is a chance, and again, so much needs to happen for us to get there. But I could see Austin Gomber coming back on a one-year deal next year. I could see the Rockies saying, you know what? Your season has already gotten off to a rough start. Gomber himself has already admitted that, yeah, he's not going to be 100% this season at any point when he returns, unless he returns for September, which defeats everything I'm about to say now about his trade value, right? Because if he's not going to come back before the trade deadline and you're not going to trade him, well, then he is going into free agency with some question mark, maybe a little pillow contract, return for 2026. Is that the Rockies style? Absolutely. Absolutely. But still, right now, Austin Gomber, an absolute unknown. Marquez has been shaky, but I would say with 3 of his last 4 starts, he's been good enough to be worthy of being considered a trade chip. I think you can say that. Sensatella, just really bad. And then the rotation of who's left over, if you will. Kyle Freeland at the front of that rotation. Ryan Feltner, who we're waiting to get back. He's going to need a rehab start here pretty soon. Chase Dolander as your number 3. Carson Palmquist as your number 4. And then Gabriel Hughes at number 5 with Tanner Gordon as that depth. And you know, odds are probably that Gordon is going to be in that 5, not number 5 spot, but in that starting 5 somewhere within there. But if you're looking at the upside, I'd probably put Hughes and Palmquist in there over Tanner Gordon. But you know what? Tanner Gordon has been proving his worth to the Rockies. So it will be really interesting to see what happens going forward with this rotation and how it ends up shaking out. But you could have a very young rotation ending this season, which doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be good next year. A lot of starting pitchers take a couple seasons to finally come to fruition or figure things out. I mean, look at Casey Mize in Detroit. It's taken him a while to finally get things going. The league is littered with players of that ilk. Ryan Feltner didn't finally come together until the second half of last year. So we'll wait and see what happens. Some other players worth discussing and other things to note. Certainly the transactions have been aggressive here as of late. Orlando Arcia, how's he doing? Well, he started his Rocky career with back-to-back hits, 2 for 2. He was the DH on Wednesday. He had his first homer of the season on Sunday in his first start at second base. So, you know, is he an upgrade over Aaron Shunk? Yes. Is he going to be a part of the next contender for the Rockies? No. Is he older than Aaron Shunk? Yes. So therefore, Aaron Shunk should get that spot? I would say no, because I'm not sure how much upside Aaron Shunk does have on this roster. Yeah, he's one of those young guys, but if you want to carry more young players, if you want to carry more prospects, they need to be supported by veteran players. And Orlando Arcia is going to be able to support players like Adiel Amador or even Ryan Ritter a lot more so than Aaron Shunk will. Because Aaron Shunk's still trying to establish himself in the league as well, and he's still trying to learn plenty of the tricks of the trade. So, you know, despite maybe some optics at that swap, I see where the Rockies are coming from in terms of that. Tyro Estrada, of course, is back. He was activated on Friday. Busy transaction day that raised plenty of eyebrows. First, with Estrada coming back from the 60-day IL with only those 24 plate appearances in Albuquerque. And then Sam Hilliard, somewhat surprisingly, getting promoted to the majors and going back to wearing number 16. Number 22 is taken. That's what he had previously worn. Nolan Jones wore that for a minute. But he's wearing number 16. It was great to see him hit that homer, the pinch hit homer on Friday night. And then, you know, on Lou Gehrig day with the two knocks. But he gets called up. Nick Martini is designated for assignment. And then Adiel Amador optioned to AAA, well, where he'll be able to go ahead and play regularly with a little bit more comfort, figure a couple things out, not get too overexposed so that his next time up in the majors, he might be able to actually stick. He might be able to utilize the things that he learned in the majors, figure out what those flaws were to then work on those flaws and become a better player, which is something that, you know, he needs to do if he really is going to be a part of the future of the Colorado Rockies. Saturday was followed up with arguably an even more surprising move. On one hand, it's surprising. On the other hand, it isn't. First, Aaron Shunk designated for assignment to create room on the 40-man roster for Keston Hera, who is a first base DH. He used to be a second baseman with the Brewers, but in baseball parlance, he was a bit of a butcher. Had some trouble over there at second base. So he is a first baseman, period. And then to make room on the active roster, Michael Tolia optioned to Albuquerque. Yes, he does lead Major League Baseball in strikeouts right now, which is a problem. Not because of the fact that he leads, it's because of the high percentage of strikeouts in his game. Because if you look at the list of players with the most strikeouts, you actually see some of the best players in the game. And you say, oh, well, I guess strikeouts, it's really not that important. And no, strikeouts aren't. But they are important if you're striking at close to 40% of your plate appearances, which is where Michael Tolia is at, 39.1%. So, you know, that's a bit problematic. You know, wins above replacement is difficult on first baseman, especially those at Coors Field. So, you know, he's at negative 0.9, so almost one win above replacement. So, you know, if you had gone with Keston Hera at the beginning of the season, arguably, Hera being a replacement player would have allotted you one more win, in theory, than what you would have had in Michael Tolia. But for a guy that had 25 home runs last year, for him to get demoted, how many players have hit 25 home runs in the majors and then got optioned to the minors the next year?
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Not many, right? Not many 26-year-olds on top of that. So just the optics are bad all around in every which way. You know, go back to the strikeouts. Ellie De La Cruz doesn't have 81 strikeouts like Tolia, but he entered Sunday with 72 strikeouts, but he's at 1.4 wins above replacement. He's been better defensively, and oh yeah, he's stolen 17 bases. He has 11 homers, 40 RBI, getting on base at a much better clip. So striking out isn't bad. It's when you're not really doing anything else that it becomes problematic, or when you're doing it at nearly 40%. Ellie De La Cruz gets up a lot. He's only striking out 28% of the time. So there'll come a point in which Ellie De La Cruz and Michael Tolley will have the same amount of strikeouts, probably by the end of next week, or the end of this week. But Tolley's strikeout percentage will be so much higher than Ellie De La Cruz. That's really what the problem is. And I think Schaefer is trying to, you know, bring about a new way of playing and a new level of accountability that maybe we haven't seen before. I don't know that it is noticeably more. I don't know that it's also going to make a whole heck of a lot of difference right now for the Rockies, unfortunately, but that's where things are at right now with them. And I'd meant to, you know, do this in the last week or so, but talk about MLB at large in terms of, you know, having just gotten past that quarter poll that we're at. We're now past the one-third poll. Also, there's no such thing as a one-third poll in horse racing, but there is in horse racing a quarter poll. So, and it's amazing how much difference a year can make, because I think the biggest surprise in baseball, you know, I think you'd probably get some people saying it is the Rockies, because just how historically bad they've been, that's just still, you know, beyond the pale. It would be like if the Dodgers lost on average of, you know, four games a month. You say, we knew they were going to be good, but this good? This is beyond anyone's expectations. Yeah, that is the biggest surprise. So I think you could probably argue that the Rockies might be, you know, the biggest surprise. But right after that, if you're just saying, just straight up surprise, we thought this team was going to be really good and now they're bad, or they're really bad and they're good, I think really at the top of the list, it starts with the Baltimore Orioles, who they're playing a little bit better since their managerial change. They've, you know, they won three in a row over the weekend, sweeping the White Sox. You know, not a big deal there. But you know, they're far back. You know, they're within 10 games of the final wild card spot, so it's not, you know, beyond the realm of possibility. So they're going to have to work their butts off. But, you know, where they were at least going into the weekend with only 19 wins, that was just pitiful. So they've been really bad. And yeah, they were criticized for their offseason and not getting an ace, and not getting an ace specifically for that postseason. I thought they did enough to bolster their regular season roster. Again, not flashy, but they had enough really good young pieces that they could have, you know, sustained somewhat, but they lost all of their momentum. They're trying to get it back. Don't think they will, but still, that's been certainly very interesting. Brandon Hyde, of course, was fired a couple weeks back. Tigers, I think, are going to be right there in terms of one of the biggest surprises, best record in the entire American League. I thought they would take a step back after making a really late push in 2024 to make the postseason. And you can compare them to the 2007 Rockies a little bit, although the Rockies went a lot further in the postseason than the Tigers did. But you look at the step back that the Rockies ended up taking in 2008, and you say, well, the Tigers aren't taking that step back with that big surge that they had in September. So they've just been incredible. And they've got a great manager there in A.J. Hinch, who is used to winning ball games late into the season and in the postseason, and he's got himself a World Series ring. And yep, say what you will, he was there when they were the Trash Astros, right? When they were banging on the trash cans. But still, he was there and knows what it means and what it takes to have that extra bit of difference to win ball games. That thing that the Rockies just do not have right now. They don't have that je ne sais quoi in regards to winning a game and stringing hits together and persevering and doing that extra thing, and all of them doing that extra thing to win the ball game. I think there are very few players right now that are doing that extra thing that, again, I don't know that we can even see some of those things. I know if you ask former ball players, they could probably see those things. Maybe certain ball players that even work for the team, arguably. But the Rockies certainly lack that thing, and the Tigers are really starting to build it in a big way. You had the Minnesota Twins. Where did their win streak top out at? Was it 13 games? Regardless, it was more than the Rockies have won this entire season. Think about that. That's just ludicrous. I know Toronto's gotten themselves hot with a 5-game winning streak after the weekend. I mean, they're going to win more games just in their winning streak than the Rockies have had all season long. That's crazy. St. Louis had a 9-game winning streak, aka a Rockies season long worth of wins. They've certainly righted the ship, and they're I'm not going to say close behind the Cubs, but easily within striking distance with about 4 months left of the season. Cubs still playing really, really good. I know Cardinals, I think, visit Denver late on in the season, so they'll have to wait to pick off their 3 wins there. And then the NL West, I mean, is everybody going to be above 500? The Diamondbacks have been the ones that have been struggling. They play well, then they get swept, then they get beat up. Corbin Burns, Tommy John surgery business. I mean, that's not looking good right now for their rotation with so many other guys not performing and already on the IL, Jordan Montgomery, Eduardo Rodriguez. So I think they're going to be okay, but man, that NL West is an absolute juggernaut, other than the Rockies, of course. And, you know, when you're in the same division as the Rockies, that's going to help you have a bit of an advantage to make the postseason. We saw the Royals do it. They had a 30-win turnaround from 2023 to 2024, and a lot of that, not all of it, not even a majority of it, but a lot of that had to do with being in the same division as the White Sox and getting that boost to sneak in and grab a wild card. And I think that's going to be the case with the NL West, though. You know, I don't know it's going to be all 3 teams. I think it'll probably be 2, and we'll wait and see about the third one. Phillies and Mets, they're just neck and neck at the top of the NL East, so I think one of those teams will probably get it. And maybe the Atlanta, if they can ever right the ship. They got Ronald Acuna back. He's playing fairly well, so we'll wait and see what happens with that. But look, I'll wait and see what you got to say over on the social media, at Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB, and the Rockies Insider, anywhere you can listen to a podcast, or even check it out on the YouTube page for all kinds of video. Got to make sure you're checking that out. Appreciate the support. Appreciate the momentum you've provided here today by listening. But that kind of momentum, unfortunately, you know, it's only as good as my next show. So, of course, I will talk to you tomorrow.